Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. This is the book of Deuteronomy, and we're in chapter 31, and there are 30 verses in chapter 31. And let's go up to the throne to ask the Lord to anoint this chapter. When the Lord tells Moses that he's going to die, that's what's going to happen. And a lot of people have been told before they die that they're going to die. The Lord will come to them and tell them that. And when the Lord utters his word, it comes to pass. He's not double-minded. If he says, that's it, pack up, it's over with. You're over with. And what you've done in this world is what you've done. Now, you can't erase it unless you ask the Lord to come into your heart and wash you and cleanse you of your sins. And then you walk the straight and narrow. And then if you ask him to come into your heart and wash you and cleanse you from all your old sins and drown them in the sea of his forgetfulness, it doesn't really make any difference how many sins you've ever committed before that happens. He washes you and makes your soul just as white as snow. You become a born-again of the Spirit person. You are like Christ. When the Spirit entered into Mary's womb, the Spirit also enters into you. That's why Mary is just the first person that had Christ in her, but she had to become born again of the Spirit. Now that which was in her was of the Spirit, but she had not been born again of the Spirit. And so she had to be born again as well, just like all the rest of us. So when that happens, that old self of ours has to be put to death. It dies. It has to die. Because we become now creatures from the kingdom of heaven. And we're to go and sin no more. And if we do, well, of course, we start living a life of sin. A lot of people are ignorant when they backslide, they go away from the Lord. And they think that because of, a lot of people think that they can't come back. But if you were ignorant and you didn't realize how intense everything is and how important it is to keep all of God's commandments. Even a person in the Bible made a vow to the Lord that if he would get the victory over one of the nations, that the first thing that comes out of his house, that he would sacrifice it unto the Lord. And when he had the victory, he got the victory, and he came home, and as he was approaching the house, his daughter, his only child, came running out of the house dancing and playing a tambourine. And he tore his clothing immediately, his shirt, and he says, oh, my God. He says, I am so sorry that I made that vow, this foolish vow. He says, because it's very important for people to know that once you've made a vow unto the Lord, you have to keep it. And the Bible clearly states that he had to sacrifice his little daughter. She only asked him that if she could go up into the hills with her friends to mourn her virginity because she would never have a child for 2 months. And that happened, and then he kept his vow to the Lord. So be careful when you make a vow unto the Lord, and be careful when you to walk the straight and narrow, because if you sin, the Lord can come right down because you know that you're not supposed to sin. And you know you have to keep all the commandments, and you know that you have the power. And if you don't, get the power of God in you right now so that you can keep all of his commandments. Because even with Moses, who served him faithfully for 40 years, Moses had to die when he spoke unadvisedly and smote the rock twice and stated, must we bring forth this water to the people of Israel, when it was God that brought forth the water, not Moses. And so be careful. And so this is where the mantle gets turned over to Joshua in this chapter. And Lord, we pray that you give us the spirit to, give us the spiritual ear, Lord. For those that don't have faith, open up their hearts and give them faith. Because by faith we're saved, and by doubt we're damned. And the seducing spirits here make people so fiercely angry at you because this is the way you are. And what profit is there to try to fight you, because it's inevitable that we have to stand before you one of these days, and if we have an axe to grind against you, that we're the ones that are going to lose. There's no way that anyone can win a battle with you, Lord. The only way we can win is to surrender to you, and that way we get into the kingdom of heaven. To fight you, Lord, is the most ridiculous state of stupidity in the whole world. Yet there's the people, the devil has such a stronghold on people, these seducing spirits, that they can't seem to break loose from it. But Lord, I pray, and all of us pray together, let's all pray together that God will break these demon powers that resist the Lord and that hate him because he has rules and regulations to be kept. This rotten, filthy, satanic government that rules us, that loves to kill babies and made it laws where you can't stop it. I mean, no one can go in and defend these children in an abortion parlor. They'll send you away to prison. That's how evil this government is. And we see them be marrying homosexuals instead of trying to win them. They're agreeing that it's all right to be a homosexual. And they hate your word, Father. And you said for those that hate your word, that you send them strong delusions to make them believe that they are right and that you are wrong. You make them believe a lie that their souls might be damned. So, Lord, but we see your severity. We see your goodness because you warn us. And we see your severity because we see how that Moses served you all these years and even he had to die because he did wrong. Lord, give us the fear of the Lord. This is the whole, your word tells us that this is the whole duty of people, human beings, is to fear you and keep your commandments. That's all. Just fear you and keep your commandments because it's a fearful thing, the Bible says, to fall into the hands of the living God. Hallelujah! You are the living God and no one can escape your sight. And no one can escape the inevitable that we have to stand before you. We came into this world naked and as sinners, and we have to go out of this world naked. But thank God we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, which can cause us to lead us into the pathway of righteousness that we can enter the kingdom of heaven and not have to spend eternity in hell and the lake of fire. Lord, we pray that people will be given your power to hate the world, to love it not, and to just take up the cross, to get saved and take up the cross and follow you. For this is the only way, the straight and narrow way into the kingdom of God. We know that you call us to learn your word so that we can know right from wrong and to know what pleases you and what doesn't please you. And we know that it pleases you for us to be soul winners, and there's a shortage of them, and we need all kinds of help. We need secretaries in this church. We need people that are not going to tell us, well, we'll come over here, but we don't like the placement of your bathrooms. We don't like where you we don't like it that some people sleep during the day because they've worked all night. And, you know, we just want to do what we want to do. We want to just work on the computer. Listen, Father, you know there was no computers when you were here on earth. Nobody. That's not a godly job to work on a computer. The computer is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And some people just think they're so almighty smart for being able to just work on a typewriter or on a computer. Anyone can do that. If I had eyes, I could do that. If I had decent eyes, but I'm glad that I don't, so that I don't think that I'm some kind of a hotshot for being able to work the computer. It's a simple thing, and how people think they're so hot because they can use that, and also they're hot because of other things that they do in this world. Lord, let people be humble and realize that there isn't really anything to do that's going to please you but to fear you and keep your commandments. And your commandments are to love you with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is to love the Word because it's our guideline to heaven and our guideline out of hell. And it is also shows us that we are to love one another, to love our neighbor and prefer others before ourselves. Let this chapter serve all these things, Lord, and give us enough power from the Spirit in the Word to stand one more day, one day at a time. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, go ahead. Chapter 31, verse 1.
Joshua becomes Israel's leader in place of Moses. King James Version, verse 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. Verse 2. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. Verse 3. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. Verse 4. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. Verse 5. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Verse 7. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him.
You know, these preachers say that all the time, God's not going to forsake you. But they never tell them that you have to keep the commandments in order for that blessing to come to pass. You know, he will never say, be very strong and courageous. How can you be strong and courageous in the Lord when you're sinning? You haven't got any. There's no possible way that you can be courageous, because you know deep down in your soul that God does not allow sin. God hates sin, and if you're going to sin, you won't have any courage to do the will of the Lord. You will not be able to have courage to do anything, or you will not be victorious. Then what?
And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Verse 8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee.
See, that's why you have such courage. If you have faith in the Lord, you know that if you're of the Lord, that you believe in God, and you really are doing everything he says, you know that God is going before you. He's like a big bulldozer going before you, a big spiritual bulldozer that's going before you and all around you to clear the path for wherever whatever he tells you to do and wherever he tells you to go. That is magnificent. Some people feel secure in a Sherman tank or one of these new atomic tanks or something. I feel secure in the Lord and him going before me. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
He will be with thee. He will not fail thee.
That's to the only the ones that are keeping the commandments. And I hear these preachers just telling their congregation, you can tell they're a bunch of sinners, because they'll say, we know that you're committing adultery and all that kind of stuff, and you know, you people ought to not commit, and the people in the congregation snicker and all that. And then he tells them that they're the righteousness of God. People are a bunch of dirty, filthy sinners. And they love their leaders because they tell them that they can sin and that God is just going to go over it once lightly with them. And they think that by giving tithes, that is the whole duty, you know, that if you don't give tithes, you know, that you just, there's nothing good going to happen to you. There's people that don't have money to give tithes, but they tithe themselves. That's the tithe that the Lord wants. Amen?
Amen.
And of course, if you've got finances, you're to tithe them, but the Lord mainly wants you. He doesn't want your money, he wants your heart. Amen?
Amen.
And so, I mean, all these different religions, they just say, well, I know, you know, if you give money and if you help other people with the money, well, you know, anyone can give money out and hand it out to people. If you want to rest assured that you're going to heaven because you give somebody a buck or two, that isn't what it's all about. It's you have to keep all the commandments. They don't think about winning a soul, not even one soul. They've never won a soul in their life, and they don't want to hear about that. I was just witnessing some people the other day, and they were just saying, oh, yeah, you got to give tithes and all that. And I says, we won't even take tithes from unsaved people. We don't really ask them for money, is what I said. I said, if they want to give it to us, fine, we'll take it. But still in all, don't think that you can buy your way into heaven. Because there are, like, many commandments that you have to keep. And that's one. The one they don't keep is to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then with the 15th chapter of the book of John, he tells us that we have to abide in him, that apart from him, we can do nothing. He has to be living in us. And if the Lord is living in you, then you're going to be a soul winner. There's no way that you cannot be a soul winner with the Lord living in you. And so if your mind is on all kinds of other things beside the Lord, there's no way you're going to get into the kingdom of heaven. I don't care how many bucks you give. There's just no way. That's not going to do it. You've got to be saved and led by the Spirit, not by some crony that calls himself a pastor and is telling you, just give money, that's the main thing, you know, just give money. Think by themselves, you know, whatever they want to. You know, in our church, we work. And if we don't work, we don't eat. And we support ourselves. And we make enough to where we can give it to others. We can give some to the poor people and so on else. The people of the Lord are not takers, or users, they're givers. All right? That's the way you've got to get the right spirit in you, the right, because the Spirit of the Lord has the right attitude. Amen?
Amen.
And anyone, I hear him talking, you know, about how they give money. Anybody that's got money can give. Even the poor people give money. There's one woman in the Bible that just gave a few pennies, and that's all she had. And the Lord says that she gave more than anybody that you rich people, because that's all she had. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go.
And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee.
But that's not to you that just love, think you can just give money, and that you don't have to do the works of the Lord. And that's why you're cursed. I'm sure that if that's all you're doing, there's a cursed thing in your life, or several cursed things. There is, for sure. Okay, and then what?
Fear not, neither be dismayed. Verse 9. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. Verse 10. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, verse 11, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing.
Right, you have to rehear the law all the time, because the reproof of these words of the law are the way of life. And the reproof of all the words, you can see all the examples that are in the Bible. Like, for instance, what I was telling you about this one man that made a vow to kill whatever would come out of his house. And the Bible says you don't make a vow idly. It's a very serious matter if you make a vow and don't keep it. And because of the fact that he believed that, he was saved. He had to sacrifice his daughter, but he was saved. Now, I just think it was a very stupid thing for him to vow. That's why you have to be very careful what you vow. Because God doesn't take vowing lightly. It's a very serious thing. And so that's why we have to keep hearing the word over and over again in order to keep it on our minds. Because our minds forget it. A lot of people say, yeah, I knew that before, but it's really shocking today. I hear it again today, and it's like it really hits home today. Or some people say, I've heard the whole Bible, and I've read it before, but today it's really ringing into my soul and spirit. And now I'm starting to fear the Lord and his word to do it, so I'm not going to be condemned. All right? All right, then what?
Translation verse 1 through 11. Joshua becomes Israel's leader in place of Moses. When Moses had finished saying these things to all the people of Israel, verse 2, he said, quote, I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has told me that I will not cross the Jordan River. Verse 3.
And you know, he didn't and never did cross the Jordan River, not in the flesh. Then what?
But the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. You will destroy the nations living there, and you will take possession of their land.
So he's a real prophet. He's telling them what they're going to do, and they did it. Amen. Came to pass. So anyone that's just telling you all kinds of stuff and it doesn't come to pass, they're not prophets. And a lot of times people will be lucky and they'll luck out and, you know, get something. Like one of these evangelists has a big TV network, said he was going to be the next president of the United States. It never happened. Okay? So we know that, first of all, he shouldn't have never tried to do that. That's not of the Lord, because you're not to entangle yourself with the affairs of the world. And number two, he never made presidency. He never even got, you know, elected to run for presidency. And he was, I think, not very wise to choose such a thing to do in the first place. I know that he tried to do this because he even called me in Nashville and wanted to meet with me in Dallas and to see if that my congregation would back him up. And I didn't tell him, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to back you up at all because I don't think it's right for you to do that. And it's not, okay, then according to the Word of God. Then what?
Joshua is your new leader. Then he will go with you just as the Lord promised. Verse 4. The Lord will destroy the nations living in the land just as he destroyed Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites.
Right, and God's going to destroy all the governments of the world and everything. So why would you think he'd want you to vote for somebody? That's to run the government, huh? He's against this government, just like this government is against him. Okay, they want the Word of God squashed, smashed, and God wants to smash them.
Amen.
And who do you think's going to smash who?
God.
Yeah. People that really want to read the Bible, they can. And people that want to go along with that program, they can. God makes you free moral agents. But God will smash you for it, okay? And he promises. So he warns you, and so that's love. He warns you, and that's enough love right there. He's not going to take you to the water and then stuff your face into the water to make you suck it up into your system. He says, water is good for you, drink it. It's good to breathe, don't try to stop your breath. And it's very good for you to serve me and to read my word and do what it says. But I'm not going to force you to do it. Some people starve themselves to death. That, what's that guy, the guy from India?
Gandhi?
Yeah, Gandhi. He starved himself to death because he thought he was the savior of the world and that everybody would feel sorry for him. Everybody says, hurry up, you old shriveled up man, die. That's what the people think, okay? But the Lord says for you to eat, amen?
Amen.
Mangiare. And, okay, then what?
Verse 5, the Lord will hand over to you the people who live there, and you will deal with them as I have commanded you. Verse 6, be strong and courageous! Exclamation mark. Do not be afraid of them! Exclamation mark. The Lord your God will go ahead of you.
Yeah, you were saying that to them because they were starting to keep his commandments. So if you keep his commandments, you don't have to be afraid of anybody. Then what?
He will neither fail you nor forsake you, unquote. Verse 7, then Moses called for Joshua, and as all Israel watched, he said to him, quote, be strong and courageous, exclamation mark, for you will lead this people into the land that the Lord swore to give their ancestors. You are the one who will deliver it to them as their inheritance. Verse 8, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor forsake you, unquote. Public reading of the law. Verse 9. So Moses wrote down this law and gave it to the priests who carried the ark of the Lord's covenant and to the leaders of Israel. Verse 10. Then Moses gave them this command, quote, at the end of every seventh year, the year of release, during the festival of shelters, verse 11, you must read this law to all the people of Israel when they assemble before the Lord your God at the place he chooses.
Yeah, the Lord is our shelter. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 12. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God.
Why is it so important to hear? He says, it's always talking about hear. You got to hear my words. Because faith comes by hearing. and hearing by the word. That's how you get faith. And faith is the most important, precious commodity in the whole world, because with it you can receive everything, but without it you're damned. Okay, then what?
And observe that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law.
To do it, not just hear it, but to do all the words of this law. So we have to do. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord saved us to do. There's jobs in the church, jobs out on the street that we have to do. We have to win souls. We have to do. All right, then what?
Verse 13. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as ye live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it. Verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thy days approach that thou must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. Translation, verse 12 through 14. Call them all together, men, women, children, and the foreigners living in your towns, so they may listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and carefully obey all the terms of this law. Verse 13. Do this so that your children who have not known these laws will hear them and will learn to fear the Lord your God. Do this as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Unquote.
Yeah, there's no way that your children are going to fear the Lord if you don't teach them to fear the Lord. People have to be taught to fear the Lord. And you teach them to fear the Lord by telling them, reading the Bible to them and showing them how these people, when they were blessed by the Lord, that they had everything and God delivered them. And when they didn't, God destroyed them out on the out of the wilderness. Otherwise, what are they to fear? That's why they're out there killing and taking drugs and committing all these things, killing their, getting pregnant and killing their own children, murdering them. It's not killing, it's murdering. And there's a lawless society now because the people are not teaching their children to fear the Lord and to keep his commandments, the whole duty of man. So it shows that they don't love their children. They really don't care whether they spend eternity, where they spend eternity. Okay, then what else?
Israel's disobedience predicted. Verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, quote, The time has come for you to die. Call Joshua and take him with you to the tabernacle, and I will commission him there. Unquote. So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves at the tabernacle. King James Version, verse 15. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of a cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. Verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Verse 17. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us?
See, just before that, the Lord says, I'll never leave, he'll never leave or forsake you and all this. But he says, if you go whoring, if you start sinning again, then I will forsake them. Amen? And I will not be with them. And so even though in the New Testament he says, I will never leave, he's saying to the people that follow him, I will never leave or forsake you. But there's a lot of people that have never knew the Lord that say they're Christians. And so the Lord doesn't need to leave or forsake them because they're already forsaken. Because they've never known the Lord, and he's going to tell them that at the judgment bar of God. He's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you wicked. This is amazing how people, they don't follow these scriptures so that they know how dangerous it is to disobey the Lord. He said, he says that he'll terrorize you. And while you're going into hell, he'll laugh at you and mock at you. And this is the real God. I mean, what do you want to live in the la-la land? You know, just, you know, thinking about the Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, and the Tooth Fairy, and all these... And just fantasies. One of the biggest motion pictures today are fantasies. And I also saw this motion picture of Passion of Christ, and I personally did not like it because when I was in prison for before I didn't do anything wrong. I was in reform school in Miles City, Montana, and I was beaten to a pulp there. All I did is run away from home, and my dad said, I think it's best that he goes there, even though my members of my family wanted to keep me in their house. And they said, he doesn't have to go, you know. But my dad said, well, I think it's the best thing because, and probably was, you know, because I just wanted to run away all the time. And so when I got there, they beat me to a pulp. And when you're beaten with stripes, I mean, as hard as we were, and I know the Lord was beaten worse than I was, we were black, blue, orange, green, yellow, brown, beige, every kind of color of the rainbow, and all it just showed is some little trickling stripes on him of red, and that isn't the way it is. Whoever did that has never been beaten before, never seen anybody that was beaten before. They've never been tortured before like I have. And the Lord, the devil knows who we are, those of us that are really going to do a work for the Lord. And I didn't like it because there wasn't any glorious resurrection in that film of how glorious it was, like the Lord's angels coming down and illuminating that area where the Lord was buried and then rolling the stone away. And then for Jesus to get up and for there to be an earthquake and him walking victoriously out of that tomb, it just showed him just sitting there, you know, like in a daze or something. And this is not fact, okay? It just made everything look so weak with the Lord. He triumphantly conquered death, hell, and the grave. And you know, when people are making movies and stuff, they should consult people like myself that really know the Bible, so that it can be far more fantastic instead of just like drab, dreary. You can tell that this man that produced and directed this film doesn't know the Lord. He's a Catholic, and those people really need to know the Lord. And I pray for him all the time, and I witness to him all the time, because you're not going to get a person saved just by praying for him. You have to witness and testify to him. You have to sow the seed, the word of God, into people's hearts in order to get them saved. People call all the time and they say, well, pray for my dad, you know, like he's going to die. And I say, you haven't witnessed to him yet? What good is it for me to pray for him if somebody isn't going to witness to him? Give him some of my literature. Play some of my tapes to him so he can understand how easy it is for him to get saved. And once he's saved, how easy it is for him to get healed. Because once he gets saved and commits his life to the Lord, then all the curses come off of him. The cancer, the tuberculosis, whatever he has wrong with him, that he'll be healed immediately, and God will raise him up from his sick bed, tell him to, and if he'll work for the Lord. There are so few laborers, and the Lord says, "For pray that there'll be laborers in the field. Pray that there'll be more workers, because we're understaffed in our church." And, you know, people think that they can just get saved and read the Bible and go to church. That isn't it. You've got to get busy and help us. Amen?
Amen.
We can't do a great and mighty job, well, you know, just by ourselves. As the church, as the body of Christ expands, and, you know, I've got more of a burden on our souls. There's more literature that has to be mailed out. There's more tapes that have to be mailed out. There's pre-production of the tapes, and we're going to be doing videotapes now. And the videotapes are about the same size nowadays as these little cassette tapes that we use on the audio. And so, but we need people to work in the packaging part. We're horribly understaffed there. We're horribly understaffed in the office. And, you know, people are crying out and reaching out to us, and we can't get to them fast enough unless there's more workers. And so, you know, if you're not going to do it, if you're not going to come and help us, well, then cry out to the Lord that somebody will, all right? Because I know God hears the prayers. I mentioned the other night on the tape that when I prayed to the Lord, that he even stops the weather or causes weather, and he turns twisters and tornadoes and hurricanes around in different directions. And I even prayed that the people that the tornado was headed for, that there wouldn't be so many of them. hurt or killed. And I just found out that there wasn't even one drop of rain over in the area of New Orleans. Not even a drop of rain. And there were just a million of them evacuated. They were so sure, and they had 10,000 body bags ready for the dead, because they knew that at least 10,000 would die. But here, just as the righteous, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Just one man, amen, can turn the tide. And one man's voice can turn the whole world upside down for the Lord. And so don't think that you can't do it. You hear the word. It's not, you don't have to go to heaven to hear it. You don't have to cross the sea. You don't have to go down into the ocean to find it. It's right here. You're hearing it at this very moment. The words of life. And you can be busy for the Lord and do something now, because you're not going to do it after you die. You could be killed, even young people and everything. So let's help us out, you know. And we've got the message, and you know, we're giving you the message, and come on, let's help. You got to help us do something here. Help us distribute the message. We, you know, we could use money, but we can use you more, all right? The Lord can use you to help us get this message out. So hurry up and come on in here and start helping us. And remember, when you come into this work, yes, we're not playing church here. This is, you know, the church, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. If you don't want to be part of that body, part of the bride of Christ, part of the New Jerusalem, well, then you're just saying, I want to go to hell in the lake of fire. Okay, then what?
Verse 18, and I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought.
Yeah, God is going to hide his face from you if you don't get in here and help us. Amen?
Amen.
And I thought I'd just have to tell you, because I'd be negligent of my job if I didn't tell you to do it. Amen?
Amen.
I would be very negligent if I didn't tell you, because this is love that I tell you the truth, okay? I have to preach, pray for laborers in the field. The field is the world. And we need churches in every town, in every state, in every country. There's people that, you know, we could use over there. And pray for our finances, too, because the more people that come in to help us, we need finances for... You know, to help feed them and clothe them and give them a place to sleep, buy beds for them and bed them down, you know, at night. And their children, too. We have to have a place of books to teach them school and everything. So, you know, make a decision to serve the Lord now and do it. And don't think of anything that you're leaving, because you're leaving nothing but that which is condemned. The world is condemned, and all those in it that are not serving the Lord. All right, go ahead.
And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought in that they are turned unto other gods. Verse 19, now therefore write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel.
Okay, like this is a song of Moses, okay? And then go ahead.
Verse 20, for when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant.
So God is telling them, you know, that they're going to do it, and they did do it. So go over now, let's do a translation here.
Verse 15 through 20. And the Lord appeared to them in a pillar of cloud at the entrance to the sacred tent. Verse 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, quote, you are about to die and join your ancestors. After you are gone, these people will begin worshiping foreign gods, the gods of the land where they are going. They will abandon me and break the covenant I have made with them. Verse 17. Then my anger will blaze forth against them. I will abandon them, hiding my face from them, and they will be destroyed.
Now, see, there's like over there, they had these women that they didn't look the same as Jewish girls do. They're like shiksas, you know. Some of them were like blonde. Some of them had different color skin and stuff like that. And it looked exotic to them. And so they started wanting to marry into them and to... And then they say, here, you know, come on, here's the kind of sex acts we do. Like we do this over here, you know, in Africa and stuff. We like to get real kinky over here. Did you ever try this or did you ever try that? Come on, I want to show you something new, something exciting. And they got into that, and that's those gods, the sex gods and all that kind of stuff over there. But the Lord commanded them not to marry into them or to take wives for their sons from them, and some they started doing it. And sure enough, just as the Lord said, they started getting into all the kinky garbage and worshiping sex and filth and degeneracy and sex music like you see on the television on these rap stations and everything. Everything is gyrating around. This is just like attempting to lure people, seducing spirits to try to lure their brains into getting involved in this same kind of stuff. And you see other people getting involved, all different nationalities now are just, doing these different dance steps that all these kind of people do, these rappers. And very sensual type things. And the Lord hates it because this is the same kind of stuff they were doing back here. That's why God told them to go in and kill all those people. Of course, now we're trying to win their souls, but this is like these demons are working in these sensual ways in people's bodies. And in hell, there have been testimonies of people saying that these kind of people are there in their souls. You can see their souls just melting, and they are writhing around in hell, and that they can see then the kind of things that they were doing to try to tempt the people in this hour of temptation here to be like them. And we're not to be like them. We're to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can picture Jesus doing these rap dances and writhing around like that, well, you know, you've got a very sick imagination. Or can you imagine the Apostle Paul or Jeremiah or anybody doing these filthy things? We are to use these people as our example, and Job, and Moses, and Paul, and Peter, and all these different people of the Lord, and primarily and mainly Jesus as our examples. If people are doing other things other than them, and they were totally against homosexuality and lesbianism, Jesus destroyed them, and he says, this is an example that you people are to follow. Don't get involved in that, these demon spirits, because they'll take your soul to hell. All right? Yeah. So, you know, just because, you know, you've got a ghetto blaster, don't think you're cool, you know, because you're listening to rap music. Some people say, I love that jungle beat, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Well, you can love it if you want, because you're a free moral agent. But if I were you, you know, we're like computers, and that thing's going right into your brain. And all it is chants of ungodly people that worship ungodly things. And you've got that kind of thing going on in your soul. You know, pretty soon you start thinking that's real cool. And it's different than, you know, you Indians or you Mexicans or you Puerto Ricans or you people that are Swedes or Norwegians or Germans or whatever. You know, be a Christian, all you nations. Amen?
Amen.
Be like the people, the examples. Those are our examples as how we're to be. Not these people, these black boys and girls that are on television sliming around and shoving their genitals around and twisting them around and everything in people's faces. And, you know, these reprobate cameramen that are running cameras today, they focus on people's rear ends. When they're walking down the streets, the Lord wants you to focus on him, not somebody's behind, okay?
Amen.
Not anybody's behind. You know, lift your eyes up about 90 more degrees, all right? All right? And get it off of people's fannies, all right? How's that for a starter? All right, praise the Lord. I know I preach a little different than other people, but that's the way it is, all right? Keep your eyes on Jesus, all right? And then you'll go to heaven. If you keep your eyes on somebody's rear end or anything like that, or their legs or something like that, You're going to see that played back to you in heaven, in hell, and you're going to know how, in the pit of hell and the lake of fire, and you're going to know how foolish you were to pay attention to such stupid things. Because you look at that girl that you're looking at now, look at her about 40, 50 years from now, and you're going to see bony knees and also hanging flesh, and, you know, and there'll probably be a lot of odor go with it. All right? And so these guys, you know, like... I don't want to mention some of their names. The same thing goes for these guys that are up there shaking around like a female. You know, they're a little bit too... They ought to just put a little carnation in their hair or something. Or an orchid, you know, to top it off. They're, you know, they're not anything to admire. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, keep your eyes on the Lord and pull yourself out of that gutter. Get up off out of the gutter with these people. And that's what the Lord's saying. I know that you're going to start, you know, doing this rap music with these people. How long have the Africans and all these people that were living there in Canaan land, how long has it been that they've been playing the drum? Boom, 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 chicka, boom. It's been going on for centuries, amen?
Amen.
And they think they're cool today because it's on television. That's just the devil, you know, and they know that people go for that stuff just like the Lord says. They're going for it. But what happens to them when they go for it? They're cursed, amen, and he destroys them. So if you don't know what that is, you know, that he's talking about, it's these Canaanites and all the different, the Amorites and the Ammonites and the Pezerites and all these different ites over there, Jebusites. This is the kind of stuff, and then they pull the Jews into it. Because the Jews didn't get rid of them. The Lord wanted to get all those rappers out of the land. Amen?
Amen.
Get them out. They're going to kill them. And even sent a bunch of them out with hornets. And so, Lord, pray. We pray that some of these guys will get some hornets after them, too. Because we're after them with the gospel. And if they don't receive it, then, Lord, send some hornets on, or whatever kind of plague you want. Amen?
Amen.
Get rid of them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Either get them saved or get rid of them. Because they think they're cool, you know. And according to the scriptures, these people were to be killed. And that's it. The same thing with these unrighteous judges and politicians and the people that are following the instructions from Rome. Get your eyes off of these people, you know, and get your eyes on the Lord. It's not going to pay you one, it's going to not pay you one thing to get your eyes on them. Okay, the Lord sees what they're doing. I've seen them. I used to be in the music business, you know, big time. And even these people are pulling it into the church, these false prophets. They got what they call gospel rap because they think it's cool. You got the same beat and everything. Amen? It's sensual. And really, it's not of the Lord. I mean, you can do it and you can say, I'm not cool. But believe me, I was what you would call the coolest person out there. The things that they're doing today are things that I was doing back 40 years ago. Okay, I was way ahead of my time, and everybody said that. And I just thank God that God pulled me out of that mess, and I lived enough in it to know what I'm talking about. And of course, people that love that kind of stuff, they can be in there if they want. Like I said, like the Bible says, they're free moral agents. So go at it if you want to go to hell in the lake of fire. But if you don't, repent. And get your eyes off that garbage, because it's not going to do you a bit of good. It's going to harm you. That's why the Lord says, take heed what you hear. And, you know, don't fix your eyes. Make a vow to get your eyes off of people's body parts and get your eyes on the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. Then go ahead.
Terrible trouble will come down on them so that they will say, these disasters have come because God is no longer among us! Exclamation mark! Unquote.
Yeah, look at these rappers are getting killed. What's that guy? The fat guy's name? They got killed. Biggie, 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 Biggie! You smart aleck booger! You got shot right between his eyes. Amen. You know that rap stuff. There's no talent to it. Anybody can do that. Biggie, Biggie, Biggie. Laying in a coffin someplace. They're all into that stuff, and God just turns themselves against each other. gangster rap. And you see all these kids wearing their baseball caps and back, you know, backwards and on the side of their head because they think that's cool. I always tell them, put this hat on right, okay? You know, just it's just a mess. Okay, let's go. Keep going.
Verse 18, at that time I will hide my face from them on account of all the sins that they have committed by worshiping other gods. Verse 19,
now right... they're worshiping flesh. You know, when you're looking at people's legs and their hinies and, you know, their toes and all like that, you're worshiping flesh. That's like an idol. Amen?
Amen.
Because you got your eyes on them. Amen?
Amen.
Constantly. You're an idol worshiper. Get your eyes on the Lord. He's the God. Amen?
Amen.
Flesh is just flesh and blood. It cannot enter the kingdom of God. Get your eyes off of flesh. And once you get to know these people, you won't like them very much anyway. They are not nice people. You know something? God hates the Hollywood way of life and the Broadway way of life. I've lived in Hollywood, Beverly Hills, Pacific Palisades, the Valley. I've lived in New York on Times Square, near Times Square, clear over by the park, in beautiful places. And on Park Avenue, on 58th Street, in the Plaza Hotel for long periods of time. The Trump Plaza. I lived in an apartment across the street from the Trump Plaza. I lived at the Americana when it was the grand opening. I've lived in the very best of places. And there wasn't anything that satisfied my soul until I got saved. Okay? Okay, then what?
Verse 19. Now write down the words of this song and teach it to the people of Israel. Teach them to sing it so it may serve as a witness against them. Verse 20. For I will bring them into the land I swore to give their ancestors, a land flowing with milk and honey. There they will become prosperous. They will eat all the food they want and become well nourished. Then they will begin to worship other gods. They will despise me and break my covenant.
Yeah, you can see people so happy in the Lord and they're living a beautiful life and God's given them everything. Suddenly they start watching television, they see all these satanic beings, and then they get pulled into it. And they're not strong enough to, in the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is not dwelling in them strong enough to pull them out of it. And so they just get sucked in.
King James Version, verse 21. And it shall come to pass when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination, which they go about, even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swear. Verse 22. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day, and taught it the children of Israel. Verse 23. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge, and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. Verse 24. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book, until they were finished, verse 25, that Moses commanded the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, saying, verse 26, take this book of the law, and put it in the side of the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. Verse 27, for I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death. Verse 28, gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears, and call heaven and earth to record against them. Verse 29, for I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves, and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands.
Why? Because they start looking at the people of the world instead of looking into the people of the Lord and the Lord himself. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then next.
Verse 30, And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended.
Okay, translation.
Translation, verse 21 through 30. Then great disaster will come down on them, and this song will stand as evidence against them, for it will never be forgotten by their descendants. I know what these people are like, even before they have entered the land I swore to give them. Verse 22. So that very day Moses wrote down the words of this song and taught it to the Israelites. Verse 23. Then the Lord commissioned Joshua, son of Nun, with these words, quote, Be strong and courageous! You must bring the people of Israel into the land I swore to give them. I will be with you. Unquote. Verse 24. When Moses had finished writing down this entire body of law in a book, verse 25, he gave these instructions to the Levites who carried the Ark of the Lord's Covenant. Verse 26. Take this book of the law and place it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, so it may serve as a witness against the people of Israel. Verse 27. For I know how rebellious and stubborn you are. Even now, while I am still with you, you have rebelled against the Lord. How much more rebellious will you be after my death! Verse 28. Now I summon all the leaders and officials of your tribes, so that I can speak to them and call heaven and earth to witness against them. Verse 29. I know that after my death you will become utterly corrupt and will turn from the Lord's path I have commanded you to follow. In the days to come, disaster will come down on you, for you will make the Lord very angry by doing what is evil in his sight. Unquote. The Song of Moses, verse 30. So Moses recited this entire song to the assembly of Israel.
Okay, so chapter 32 will be the song. And we're not going to do this. We'll do this later on this evening, the Lord willing. All right, now we've got some commentary. That was the last verse in chapter 31, and now commentary.
31, verse 3. The Israelites were on the verge of entering the promised land. They needed fresh reminders of God's commandments, his strength and his promises of victory or defeat. Some may have been putting their confidence in Moses or Joshua. Others may have been depending on the strength of their armies. But no matter, it doesn't make any difference, how strong we or our leaders might be, victory comes from God alone. Some enemies are too great, too strong for us. Our personal resources or support groups, though helpful, will never be adequate to gain complete victory over our dependencies. We must learn to trust God alone, for He is greater than ourselves or our enemies that we might face.
And what it means to trust God means get your eyes off of flesh. Get your eyes on Him. Now, God, if you're depending on Him, He says, depend on what I'm saying. Get your eyes on me and keep your eyes on me. Don't look to the left or to the right because there's too much. There's all these temptations in the world. And He says, if you do, I'll keep you from the hour of temptation. The hour of temptation will not catch you and destroy you. And so, keep your eye on me. That's being totally dependent on the Lord. And if you'll do that, if you'll follow what He says, be dependent on what He's, depend on what He says to be the truth, then you've got faith. But if you're going to be looking at people's behinds and fantasizing about something that really isn't, the devil just makes something out of something that is nothing. Amen?
Amen.
Because there's nothing to people's behinds. That's just to go to the bathroom with, okay? You know? You should see them, you know, when they have the runs. Yeah. Okay? You think that that's nasty? You're nasty. You know, the people that are the most nasty ones will get offended at that. But keep your eyes on the Lord, all right?
Amen.
That's how sexy that is, right? Okay, what else?
31, verse 23. This verse contains an...
Something has to wake the people up out there, man, right?
Right.
Okay, then what?
This verse contains an important message for people that are wanting to build a strong life in the Lord. In spite of the difficulty of the task, and it isn't really that difficult in the spirit at all, We are told, quote, be strong, bracket, because by the Spirit we can be, and bracket, and courageous, exclamation mark, bracket, because if we believe the word of God, we can be, and bracket, unquote. The basis for this strength and courage is that by faith we can believe the marvelous promises of God. Quote, I will be with you, unquote. As we face the desperate challenges of the covenant in the Lord, while we become mature, we are able to find strength and courage and be strong and courageous in this message. Our God is a God who specializes in overcoming giants and giant challenges. See 1 Samuel chapter 17.
As reprobate as this world is today, if they can't hear what I'm saying here and they try to act indignant, as evil as they are, then they got to be the biggest phonies on the face of this earth. What I'm saying is not dirty. I'm saying facts. And people that can't handle that, it's always the person that is the most evil of all that gets indignant when you mention this, because you know that what I'm saying is going to turn a lot of people off from doing that sort of stuff. Amen?
Amen.
And it's just the devil in you that doesn't like it. Okay, then what else?
31 verse 1 through 34 verse 12. These chapters detail events connected with Moses' approaching death and funeral. 31 verse 2. Quote, I can no longer go out and come in, refers to Moses' inability to continue to discharge his duties. It is because of his advancing age and God's command that he shall not cross over this Jordan. 31 verse 3 through 6. Soon the Israelites will cross the Jordan and begin the conquest of the promised land. Moses reminds the people that God will be with them in battle, just as he has been with them in the wilderness against Sihon and Og. Chapter 2, verse 26 through 37, and chapter 3, verse 1 through 11, whose land they now occupy. 31, verse 7 through 13. Moses turns over the leadership of the Israelites to Joshua, who had already been designated, in chapter 1, verse 38, and Numbers chapter 27, verse 23. He also assigns to the Levitical priests and to all the elders, the ecclesiastical and civil heads of the nation, the responsibility of teaching the law and enforcing a subservience. So not only are people that are pastors to teach the law, but they have to make sure that they enforce the teachings of it. 31, verse 14 through 23. The events in this private ceremony may be regarded as confirming Joshua in his commission by the immediate presence of the Lord. He had been commissioned or inaugurated earlier in Numbers 27, verse 22 through 23. 31, verse 16. The future apostasy of the Israelites is announced in the presence of Joshua so that he will be aware of the danger and strife in his day to avert it. This he faithfully does, Joshua 24, verse 31. But in his own last address to Israel, Joshua chapter 23, verse 15 and 16, he repeats the same prediction and writing. 31, verse 20. It is instructive to note that the very prosperity that God would give the Israelites would contribute to a sense of ease and security, in which this source of that prosperity would be forgotten. They forgot where all the blessings came from. 31 verse 28 through 30. The central commands in this chapter were that the covenant be read regularly, the song of witness be written and taught to Israel, and the covenant document be placed by the side of the ark. All of these embody the one significant concern, that Israel would forget her covenant with God and break it.
All right, praise the Lord. That was chapter 31. We'll be doing chapter 32 later this evening, the Lord willing. Until then, remember the things that you've been taught here. Get your eyes off of flesh, because if you have your eyes on flesh, you're in idolatry. For years, I had never watched television whatsoever. And the Lord had me look into it a little bit, and just now and then, just to let me know what's going on in the world so that I could come up against it. And that's how I know some of the things that are going on in the world. He told Ezekiel to do the same thing. He didn't tell the whole congregation to go in there, because the congregation gets caught up in that kind of stuff. But it's for sure I don't. I'm not into that kind of stuff at all. And so if that's what you're wondering of how I know about these things going on, I do like several messages. I've done 6 chapters today, and I've done this message here, and I've been on the phones back and forth all day long, and I only got around 4 or 5 hours sleep. And so I'm telling you that I notice what people are doing in the world today, and the Lord wants us to everyone to get their eyes off of flesh and to stop being idolaters and stop looking at the different sports and all the other and all these evil kinds of music. Now, we just had a videotape around on that kind of music. I wouldn't have known it if I didn't watch the videotape, right?
Right.
And I sent it to everybody. But I know that some of the people want to hear it twice, and that means that you really can't show the people some of this stuff because it just catches them. There's one of the people in the church that just saw a little bit of Eminem. And the crazy thing just fell in love with him. And that's what some of the other ones, I'm afraid to send these kind of tapes around to different people. It was just like a few seconds of it. And it's like if you're watching the news or something, they'll flash something on there like that. And that's, I think, when that person saw it. So the best thing for people not to do is even to watch television. All right? Because it's... You just never know what they're going to flash on there. We do have these screens that are tapes where there's documentaries I have to screen, and I have them in the church. But there is no profit at looking at flesh. And so you just have to remember these things. There's nobody saying it the way that I say it, and therefore there's no warning in people's minds. They're just afraid to say these things. And that's what the Lord told me a long time ago. He says, don't be afraid to say these things to this bunch of reprobates in this world, because that isn't anything. They're just turned off because you're telling them things that will sicken them on what they're looking at. And they don't want to be sickened with it. They want to keep looking at it. And they want it to still keep running through their souls, their spirits. That's why they get uptight when you tell them about that, and they get scowls all over their faces. It's because they love it. But anyway, keep this on your mind, chapter 31. The Lord knows if you're going to serve him or if you're just going to fly off and do these other things, if you're going to go along with the world. Remember that, and remember these words from this chapter, and you'll stand another day in the Spirit of the Lord. Till then, God bless you. I know he will if you keep your mind up and your eyes up on him. Remember these things in Jesus' name, and the Lord bless you. Praise the Lord.